Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. After a weaker than expected jobs report showing 73,000 hires for July and downward revisions for June and May job numbers, President Trump has fired the Labor and Statistics Commissioner, claiming the numbers were fake.
Erica McIntyre, for a government economist for much of her career, was confirmed by the Senate early last year, 86-8. The bureau she led was created by Congress to study labor and economic trends in 1884, and its chief is appointed to a four-year term. But the law places no restrictions on the president's power to remove a BLS commissioner. Still, Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer was sharply critical of Trump's move, coming just hours after the July jobs report was released.
Instead of trying to fix the economy, he shoots the messenger.
Stephen Portnoy, ABC News, Washington.
In Montana, police and federal agents are responding to an active shooter at the Anaconda Deer Lodge that's north of Butte. Former Colombian President Álvaro Uribe was sentenced today to 12 years of house arrest for witness tampering and bribery. This is ABC News.
As Wisconsin is hitting the road on your Harley. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly. Wisconsin residents will soon no longer need to pay state sales taxes on their electric and natural gas bills year-round under the new biennial budget. The state sales tax exemption had previously applied only from November to April, when utility bills tend to be higher due to the winter weather. Under the new budget, the sales tax exemption will apply year-round and is estimated to save residents a combined nearly $180 million over the next 2 years. The sales tax will automatically be removed from energy bills beginning October 1st. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources is inviting residents to participate in Aquatic Invasive Species Snapshot Day next week. The event is part of a statewide effort by the agency to raise awareness about the dangers that aquatic invasive species pose to the state's waterways. Volunteers will gather at training sites across the state next Saturday to learn how to locate and identify the invasive species and catalog the findings to help the agency track their spread. Residents interested in participating in the event must register online by next Friday. Duluth Mayor Roger Reinert is warning residents that the city's budget deficit has now grown to over $7 million. In a social media post, Mayor Reinert said the budget deficit has grown by $1.3 million from the spring to a total of $7.2 million. Officials say increased wages for city employees has been a large part of the growing deficit, but that the increased wages are necessary to attract and retain talent for long-term growth. Mayor Reinert suggested more partnerships with local communities and businesses to increase revenue. The American Red Cross is highlighting a number of blood donation events in the Northwest Wisconsin region over the next few weeks. Organization officials say keeping up with donation needs is especially difficult during the summer months. They say hospitals across the country are specifically in need of more blood platelets and type O blood during this time of year, but donations of all kinds are needed as well. The American Red Cross is highlighting a number of blood drive events in Barron and Chetek throughout the month of August. For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly.
The Packers prepare for family night. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Green Bay with another practice in pads before tomorrow night's family night inside Lambeau Field. On defense, it appears that Keyshawn Nixon and newcomer Nate Hobbs are in the lead as the two defensive backs at corner. Baseball, the Brewers against the Nationals tonight in Washington, D.C. Jose Quintana against the Nationals left-hander Mitchell Parker. The Brewers making some moves before the trade deadline, including sending pitcher Nestor Cortez to San Diego for outfielder Brandon Lockride. It looks like Jackson will be out for a while with a hamstring injury. Pat Murphy.
Yeah, I mean, we're hanging in there. That's all there's to it. We've been injured all year long, whether it's, you know, the guys that the 12 pitchers that weren't available when we started, you know, the Mitchell, the Perkins, the guys we've been without. We're out with Sal for a while. Hopefully we're not without Churio, you know, like all that stuff.
That's the Brewers manager, Pat Murphy, with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
As Wisconsin is cheering on Bucky Badger, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Areas of wildfire smoke still sticking around in spots, creating a hazy sunshine today, and highs in the upper 70s. Tonight, with calm winds, patchy fog is possible, and wildfire smoke still lingers tomorrow. As highs flirt with about 80 degrees, we should see bluer skies by Sunday. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Right now, it's 74.
For 75 years, the Muscular Dystrophy Association's voices have thundered through the halls of Congress,
For 75 years, we've willed the impossible into existence.
For 75 years, the MDA community has pushed the science,
shifted the narrative,
and established the field of neuromuscular medicine.
And until that day when this is all a thing of the past,
you couldn't stop us if you tried.
Join us and celebrate 75 years of breakthroughs at MDA75.org.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
One of the most basic things that a free people could want, not going bankrupt because of healthcare. If it sounds like I'm banging my head against the microphone, yeah. It's that we are having this discussion about having to hold benefits for people because they didn't have proper health insurance coverage, because they're threatened with bankruptcy, which again happens in no other developed country in the world.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Civic Media News Director Sholly Pittman will join us to break down all the weekend news. We go beyond the cheese with Poppy Bakery. Join us.
Matinair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
While Maggie is enjoying some time off, here are some of our favorite moments over the last few weeks. The Best of the Maggie Dawn Show continues now.
From Milwaukee to Marshfield, where passion meets purpose and policy meets people, this is the Maggie Dawn Show.
They're not there to serve you and me and the family farmer. They're there beholden to billionaires and their corporate overlords.
Get ready to challenge the status quo with a fresh perspective on the issues that matter to you.
You see our nation fraying and fracturing.
This is not normal. This is not the country that I grew up in.
Breaking down the complex world of policy and politics with clarity, conviction, and just the right amount of fun.
Correct. We know better. We know better.
Clip that.
Lawyer, economist, and fearless advocate for the truth. Here is Maggie Dawn.
Welcome, everybody. And happy hump day to each and every one of you. I'm Maggie Dawn, host of this, The Maggie Dawn Show, here on the Civic Media Radio Network. As ever and always, we've got a stacked show for you this afternoon, but let me start with some breaking news. The Supreme Court and yet another, quote, decision out of their shadow docket this afternoon, a small bit of good news. The Supreme Court refusing to revive a Florida law that would have permitted state officials from pursuing criminal charges against unauthorized immigrants in the state of Florida. You may ask, well, why can't they? Because immigration is a federal matter, not a state matter. So, at least in this one case, the Supreme Court doing hopefully what we all thought they should have. But as ever and always, stay tuned because they still have plenty of time to screw it up royally. That bit of breaking news just over the past hour or so. But we've got a great show. Let's give you the lineup this afternoon. We're going to start out with an incredible guest. We're going to be talking about Wisconsin farmers in just a moment. And the top of the 5 o'clock hour, I'll be joined by Sally Flores. She is a DACA recipient, and she is also the organizing director of the Wisconsin Fair Maps Coalition. I've heard her speak before, and talking to someone who experienced this last election cycle and Donald Trump's attacks on immigrants, who are also the lifeblood of our farming communities here in the state of Wisconsin, personally, about what that is actually like for her and her family. She recently traveled back to Mexico to visit with her parents. She's going to share some of those experiences with us. You're not going to want to miss that at 5. At 5:30, I will be discussing breaking news earlier this morning reported by the Journal Sentinel and other outlets across the state that apparently the Madison City clerk did nothing about 200 approximate absentee ballots. We'll get into that, why that's so appalling, and what the hell was going on in the city of Madison. Very disturbing news. And it wasn't just the city clerk. It was her deputy elections official as well who did nothing. Maybe one person has a brain fart, but two? Oh, my goodness. We're going to talk about that at 5:30. And the Brewers are still in action right now in this hour. I was at the game last night. We're going to finish off today's show with me sharing some of my joy about the Milwaukee Brewers, specifically the Miz. Who is this kid? Oh, my goodness. 12 strikeouts in 5 innings, setting a Major League Baseball record. No pitcher has done that in the era of modern pitch tracking since 2008. We'll discuss more before the closeout of the show. But right now, I'm so excited to have with me State Senator Brad Path. He is the guy in our state house on farming. Senator, it's such a pleasure to have you with us. Thanks for making time.
Well, Maggie, thank you for having me, and congratulations to you. I saw the Miz pitch 2 weeks ago in Milwaukee on a Wednesday. It was lacrosse day.
Yes.
At American Family Field, and the Miz beat the big ace that the Pittsburgh Pirates put out on the mound. And I'll tell you, there was 900 people that came down from lacrosse for lacrosse day at American Family Park, and we saw a great game. And I'm telling you, I am excited about Brewer baseball as well. So,
Brad, you can come back anytime and talk Brewers baseball with me.
Man.
That pitching outing for the Miz against Skeens from the Pirates was absolutely top notch. He had a bit of a stumble with the Mets. I think everybody was looking, hey, he's going to be on the national stage last night. Everybody was tuned in. Former national champions coming off of last season. Yeah. That Ohtani home run, first batter he faced, and the fact that he battled back, it was super impressive. I love that you love some baseball. Next time you're
I love it. I'll tell you, let's hear it for Sal Frelick at the bottom of the eighth.
He
comes up there and gives that extra run for us. 3-1, we get that cushion.
Yeah, that insurance run. Listen, little Sal Frelick, first of all, he wears short pants, which I love. Second of all, I can basically put him in my pocket. I'm a 6-footer. So, you know, like, what is not to love about hardworking Sal Frelick? Listen, the next time you're in town, Senator, let's hear it. Civic Media know. We'll have a little cookout, if you will. I think they call them tailgates outside of AmFam.
They do call them tailgates. And I'll tell you, we will get to the show, because the thing is, the Brewers, I love the name of the Brewers because it goes back to the roots of what Milwaukee is, and that is a brewing capital of this nation. And the thing is, it brings the grains, the hops, and the barley.
Yes.
It brings it all together. And of course, those come from our family farms, and I am very proud of all of that. But yes, the Brewers, I believe, are in a pennant hunt. I want them to go on a buyer's market and actually be proactive when it comes to trades, because I think we can give the Dodgers a run for the money when it comes to the NL pennant. And, let's go.
Senator, there's so much about what you're saying that I think, and I talk about this a lot, baseball to me is a bit of a foil, not just for Milwaukee as a hardworking city, but for Wisconsin, for the reasons that you are articulating. And boy, sir, you can do radio, because that was exactly the right pivot from breweries to the grains to our family farms. And that, to me, the hardworking nature of the Brewers franchise throughout its history, right? Always a bridesmaid, never a bride when it comes to the World Series. And I think that spirit of fight in our family farms and across the state of Wisconsin continues to this day. Sir, you have done quite a bit for farmers. You come from a farming background. You're from La Crosse County. You represent the proud 32nd State Senate District. You've done so since 2021. Let's talk a little bit about a few of the bills that you've introduced this year. I want to start with the most recent one, because it's so incredibly important in light of what's going on federally. It is the Agricultural Purchase Program. Tell folks a little bit about it.
Well, first of all, I want to say this, and I appreciate it very much, Maggie, for the opportunity to be here. We hear an awful lot about the fact that, rural America is leaning red, and that we as Democrats have lost focus and touch when it comes to rural America. Well, I want to say, first of all, that's not the case. And don't paint us all with a broad, broad brush. I do believe that we need to continue to focus our message. And I do firmly believe, Maggie, that all politics is local. And so I appreciate you brought up the fact that I am very proud of my farm roots and from the rolling hills, coulees, and valleys of northern La Crosse County, and to represent this region in the state Senate. And this is a proud agriculture district. And the point is this, is that it is the grains that are grown in our farm fields and is the milk that is produced in our dairy barns that pays the bills for a vast majority of a number of people in this state. And agriculture provides $116 billion of annual economic impact to this state. One out of every 10 people in this state are employed in some form of agriculture. So that is so very important. And we do need to be able to connect the dots on how that has an impact when it comes to public policy and when it comes to impact, when it comes to making sure that we continue to move this state forward in a way that, you know, benefits all of us. And so I did introduce legislation that, again, links consumers with our family farmers. It recognizes that this piece of legislation that was jammed through Congress last week is going to have an impact, and I would say a negative impact, on too many individuals that, through no fault of their own, are seeking food assistance at different times in their life. And so what this piece of legislation does is very simple. It provides grants to the Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, and then the Wisconsin Department of Agriculture would work with local food organizations in order to provide financial assistance. And those local food organizations then would contract directly with local farmers to receive the bring in the food that they seek. May it be meats, may it be milk, may it be cheeses, may it be maple syrup, whatever it may be. And so, again, it is trying to broaden out the supply chain as far as with agriculture. And at the same time, it's linking family farmers with consumers. And I think that is so very important. And what it's also doing is it recognizes during when there are challenges and dips in the marketplace and people are down on their luck, that we're just not throwing people to the street. We're recognizing the fact in a wealthy nation and a state like Wisconsin that grows food, we want to make sure that we can feed our neighbors.
Folks, if you're just joining us, I'm joined this half hour by Senator Brad Pfaff of the 32nd State Senate District. He has introduced three key pieces of legislation this cycle to help support Wisconsin farmers and families. People, because we have been rightly focused on the big brutal bill, as well as the state's biennial budget, people forget that one of the first things that Donald Trump did was cut all kinds of aid programs willy-nilly through executive orders, and it ended up immediately hurting Wisconsin farmers because we literally had food rotting in storage houses, not getting to the people that need the food. Read some reports of very acute impacts in Door County and in counties across the state. So again, this most recent bill is called the Agricultural Purchase Program. It's a bill to establish a $30 million fund within the Department of Agriculture, again, to make sure that families in need of emergency food assistance in the state get it, and that they get that food assistance from our family farms. The other key piece, and as soon as I started to read about this, I got so ticked off, Senator. And this is the Right to Repair bill, which you introduced in February of 2025. Anyone who's had the fortune, I will say, the sort of modern problem of owning a foreign car and going to try to get it repaired, and they're like, yeah, it's this little piece that we're going to have to wait 3 months for, and it's going to cost you. Tell us what the Right to Repair bill is, and we got about a minute. We'll come back on the other side if you can spare me another segment, sir, so that folks know what this is about. But very briefly, what's the Right to Repair bill about?
It allows a farmer to fix their tractor or their combine or any farm equipment that they own by themselves. Can you imagine you spend $150,000 to buy a tractor and you cannot fix it? And you are in the middle of harvesting corn or baling hay, it is just absolutely wrong. This is a monopolistic practice by the big farm equipment dealers, and we've got to stop this. And I am proud to introduce this legislation, and I need help getting it across the finish line.
Folks, again, that is State Senator Brad Pfaff, the Right to Repair bill introduced in February 2025. We'll put a link to both the bill and some of the coverage about this because I think it's so critical. John Deere basically has established a monopoly, and it forces folks that purchase this incredibly expensive equipment that you basically cannot compete in a marketplace without these days to go through Deer for any sort of repair. And it is both crippling in terms of cost and time, especially during planting and harvest times. Folks, we're going to continue this conversation because this is where it's at. And one of the things that I want to talk to the state senator about on the other side is the consolidation that we have seen in agribusiness across the country over the last couple of decades. What's that doing to prices? What is that doing to the family farm here in Wisconsin? So folks, you're going to want to stay tuned. We've got more with the state senator. I'm Maggie Dawn. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Keep it locked.
Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. Americans really like voting by mail and in-person early voting. That, according to 2024 statistics from the U.S. Election Assistance Commission. According to EAC, 158,211,780 citizens voted out of 211,144,275 active registered voters, a 74.8% turnout, 3 points lower than 2020. Among the 158 million voters, 52.8 million voted in person on Election Day. But far more Americans voted early, with 46.8 million voting early by mail and almost 48.9 million voting early in person. Mail-in voting accounted for 30.3% of votes cast, with some states offering universal mail balloting or permanent mail or absentee lists. Over 15 million ballots were returned via drop boxes in 36 states, up 10% since 2022. The percentage of in-person Election Day voters dropped in 2024 to only 37.4%, while in-person early voting jumped to 35.2%. The combination of mail and early in-person totaled 65.5%. It's clear that early voting is here to stay. We've linked to the report at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
At Hazelden Betty Ford, treating mental health isn't just about breaking old patterns. It's about braving new ones. As the leader in alcohol and drug treatment for 75 years, we know caring for addiction, anxiety, depression, and trauma goes hand in hand. We're here for you with new tools when life breaks down at our new clinic in Hudson. Discover your path to better mental health at hazeldenbettyford.org/Hudson. Sponsored by Hazelden Betty Ford Foundation.
Being blind doesn't look how others may think.
Retinitis pigmentosa aimed to overwhelm my family.
It tried to cut me down.
I know where to find support.
Learn more at fightingblindness.org. A public service message from the Foundation Fighting Blindness.
Local news, weather, and sports on air and streaming on the Civic Media app. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Maggie is enjoying some time off, but it's your chance to win with Free Ticket Friday. Using the Civic Media app, text us the word park for a chance to see the Brewers play New York Friday, August 8th. That word again, park, P-A-R-K. The best of the Maggie Dawn Show continues now.
And welcome back, everybody. Welcome if you're just joining me. I'm your host, Maggie Dawn. This is the Civic Media Radio Network, where we're all about real news and great conversation. We've got one of those great conversations going on right now. And if you don't want to miss anything that happens, if you're sitting listening to your radio or on your smart speaker, and you're thinking, what happens during those breaks? Do they continue to have conversations? Of course we do, because that's the fun stuff. You can always watch the Civic Media YouTube channel. You can tune in at Maggie Dawn Show on Facebook, on Instagram, you know, all the socials, and check out me and my guests chit-chatting during the breaks. And this one, unsurprisingly, was about baseball. But let's get back to farming. We've got State Senator Brad Pfaff from the great 32nd State Senate District in La Crosse County, Wisconsin.
That's right.
You're from a farming background. I wanted to talk to you about consolidation across basically every subsector of the agricultural industry in the nation. And this, the reason that this is incredibly important for people is not just how it impacts your pocketbook, because as consolidation occurs, which means fewer companies control a greater percentage of the entire flow of business within a particular sector. It means that they can, without even getting in a room and agreeing about it, effectively push prices up. They can exert all kinds of anti-competitive behaviors. They can push out family farms. This is the phenomena of, hey, do you miss your local hardware store on Main Street? Well, that's because Walmart moved in. That's an example of consolidation. While Walmart promises to deliver lower prices, what we see, especially in agricultural industries, grocery, et cetera, at every sort of, again, sub-industry within agriculture, is that this has been pushing overall prices up, especially when measured against inflation. In other words, there's price gouging going on because of consolidation. Senator, you care about this deeply. You've been following this deeply, and it is just getting worse, is it not?
It surely is getting worse, and quite frankly, it's wrong. So if you are going to grill a hamburger tonight or grill a steak, I want to let you know that while that beef may have come from the countryside in this, all over this nation, the thing is there are four meat packers in this country that dominate 80% of the marketplace. They are Tyson Foods, JBS, which is a Brazilian firm, Cargill, and then National Beef, which is also based in Brazil. Four large meat packing companies control 80% of all the beef that's slaughtered in this country. And I also ask you to envision an hourglass in which you have literally hundreds of thousands of independent family farmers, and then envision the bottom of that hourglass in which you have millions of consumers, and then you have four meat packers at the dead center of that hourglass. So everything gets run through there. I think it is so wrong. I mean, you want to talk about breaking down economics and not having real price discovery, as an economist would talk about. If you want to talk about monopolistic practices like a lawyer would talk, or if you want to discuss antitrust, I believe that there needs to be a real thorough evaluation of what's happening. But again, this is a domestic marketplace and even an international marketplace, and it really is putting a squeeze on our family farmers, but also I would say on our consumers as well, because I think it restricts our choice. And that is why I push legislation, Maggie, in order to try and broaden this supply chain, make sure that we have more small town meatpacking facilities. We call them locker plants out here in the countryside, where you can pull into a local meatpacking place and buy your summer sausage or buy your pork chops, and it's all local. And so I'm very proud within the Evers administration, there has been more money that's gone to local meat processing. These are, you know, family-owned operations. They're on Main Street, and it's a win-win for our consumers as well, because we get greater choice and greater variety when it comes to the food products that we can purchase and eat and enjoy. But yes, the consolidation that's taking place in agriculture, it just leads to a ripple effect. And so what happens is that the larger these meat packers get, or the larger the more difficult it gets to be able to sell your product, your animal or your wheat or your grain, what happens is you yourself as a farmer need to get larger as far as purchase more land, and you consolidate. And again, that just leads to fewer and fewer independent entrepreneurs, family farmers on the countryside.
It was fascinating to me when you introduced the right to repair legislation back in February of this year. The then FTC chair, Lena Khan, came out and said, yeah, we've got a problem. John Deere is exerting an unreasonable and anti-competitive amount of control. Of course, Donald Trump has removed Lena Khan from the Federal Trade Commission, has gutted that organization, because consolidation feeds mega corporations, feeds the billionaire class, and that's who Donald Trump and the MAGAs are there to serve. They're not there to serve you and me and the family farmer. They're there beholden to billionaires and their corporate overlords. Just a couple of facts for folks very briefly. Most economists will peg the consolidation in a market that creates anti-competitive, in other words, price increasing and locking out smaller businesses like family farms, at around 50, sometimes 55%. In almost every subcategory of the agricultural industry, we are well over 60. Cottonseed, beef processing, which you mentioned, corn seed, soybean crushing, nitrogen fertilizer, soybean seed, retail grocery, pork processing, wheat milling, agrochemical, agricultural machinery, and poultry processing. We have seen consolidation levels never before in our nation's history, as we see right now. Thank you so much, State Senator Brad Pfaff of the great 23rd State Senate District. I can't wait to have you come back, talk Brewers, please. Brats, beer.
Let's talk Brewers.
And family farms. You. Yeah, real pleasure,
keep up,
sir.
The great work, Peggy. Appreciate it.
Appreciate you, sir.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Matt and Air on Air.
As Wisconsin as a fish fry on a Friday night, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly. A new report from the Wisconsin Policy Forum found the participation rate for apprenticeship programs is at a record high. According to the report, over 17,000 people participated in the Wisconsin Department of Workforce Development's Registered Apprenticeship Program in 2024. The number of kids in the state participating in apprenticeship programs has also more than doubled over the last few years, from 5,100 in 2019 to well over 11,000 this year. The programs aim to address workforce shortages in fields like construction and healthcare. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources is now accepting applications for its 2025 Recycling Excellence Awards. The awards are meant to highlight organizations like community groups, nonprofits, schools, and businesses that go above and beyond with innovative recycling efforts. There are four categories of awards, including for specific recycling projects and initiatives, overall recycling programs, innovations in recycling efforts, and special recycling events. The agency will be accepting nominations for the awards until September 15th. Wildlife officials say an eaglet that was found in distress along Highway 63 near Mason in late July is recovering well at the Winged Freedom Raptor Hospital in Spooner. The Bayfield County Sheriff's Office says the injured bird was reported on July 23rd. Winged Freedom Raptor Hospital officials estimated the eagle was less than 4 months old when it arrived in critical condition from starvation and dehydration. They believe the eagle may have initially injured itself while learning to fly. They also believe it could have been infected by West Nile virus. Ashland law enforcement authorities say they'll be increasing patrols and surveillance at Central Rail Yard Park after a child discovered used needles and unsanitary conditions in the bathroom this week. According to city officials, the incident occurred during a baseball game on Tuesday. The bathroom was closed off to be cleaned up and to have the hazardous materials removed. Officials say they want the park to remain safe and a welcoming place for all families, and if anyone encounters unsafe conditions in a city park, they should report it immediately. For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. When it comes to TV or movies, there is nothing like momentum. The Gilded Age is currently in its third season and all arrows are pointing up. The show is tracking 25% more than its previous season and still has two episodes left of season three. HBO has already renewed the show for a fourth season. Social media chatter is up 60%, and Rotten Tomatoes has season three at 95% fresh. If all that weren't enough, last week's episode reached a series high in viewers at 4.5 million in the first 3 days of release. Looks like we have no excuse now not to check it out. If you're a fan of the show Luther with Idris Elba or the original version of The Office with Ricky Gervais, you'll have another option for viewing. HBO and BritBox, which specializes in UK mysteries, comedies, and dramas, have struck a deal where HBO will stream 15 BritBox shows during the months of August and September. The goal of both companies? Get so many viewers they can charge as much as Netflix. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin as a game of cribbage with good friends, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Partly cloudy tonight, some areas of smoke and lows in the mid-50s. Hazy sunshine from smoke again tomorrow, highs in the mid-70s. And mostly sunny and into the upper 70s on Sunday. Some storms Sunday night and Monday. It's 74 right now.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
It's fun to look back and laugh now.
That was a bad day.
Their marriages that have died on less. Our first actual fight as a married couple was about the house rules of playing Monopoly. We've not really played Monopoly since. When you can modify an app, you can modify the rules of the game. Maybe there are times when you are better off just playing the computer. Play something else with your spouse instead.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Forever Young Designs artist Spencer Young. And it's a Bar Band Friday night, so our Wisconsin music expert Terry Barr brings new music from the best Wisconsin bands.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Maggie is enjoying some time off, but it's your chance to win with Free Ticket Friday. Using the Civic Media app, text us the word PARK for a chance to see the Brewers play New York Friday, August 8th. That word again, PARK, P-A-R-K. The best of the Maggie Dawn Show continues now.
We're not every woman. It's Kristen and me. It's 4:30. It's time for Broad Appeal here on the Maggie Dawn Show. I'm joined this half hour by Dr. Kristen Wiley. Today's a special installment of Broad Appeal. Kristen and I don't have any other guests. We just want to talk with you. And our female callers will be given priority. We want to know what you, ladies, and men, you're welcome to, but especially the ladies out there, given that it is our Broad Appeal segment. What are you feeling about the big, brutal bill? Let me give you an idea of what we're looking for, what we're hoping that you might share with us this afternoon. I've heard many stories over the years of moms, especially, who have skipped meals to make sure that their kids are fed. Families that don't fill prescriptions or ration prescriptions so that they can pay rent or just maintain their overall health insurance. By nearly all objective measures, all that's going to get worse under the big, brutal bill. So Kristen and I want to hear from you. Have you ever had to skip a meal or delay critical health care because you couldn't afford it? What did that feel like for your family? Have you ever had trouble navigating your benefits under Medicare or Medicaid or the Affordable Care Act? What was the hardest part? Did you lose coverage? What impact did that have on you? And are you worried that these program cuts could face women, could force women and families to make really, really heartbreaking decisions about the health, wellness, and nutrition in their families? What does that feel like for you? Kristen and I want to hear from you. 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC. Dr. Lyerly, I can only imagine that over your years of practice, you've heard some of these stories. What's it like to be a physician and see your patients struggling with what are basic needs and having to prioritize feeding kids over rent or getting the health care that they need? What does that feel like as a practitioner?
I've heard these stories. I've lived these stories. Growing up, we were on food stamps. My parents, you know, long story short, my father died. My mom was a stay-at-home mom. She ended up being able to get a minimum wage job. It was $4.25 an hour back then, but we were barely getting by. And that was a struggle. So to grow up and be a physician in a situation of privilege like I am right now is an entirely different life than I lived when I was a child. But I see, you know, my kids, of course, looking to the future, wondering how they are going to be able to build a future that will serve them. You know, they're not barely making ends meet. How are they going to save for their retirement and potentially build a family, buy a house? I mean, my oldest son is a teacher, and he knows that he can't do those things, those common things that many people want in their lives, because he can't afford it. And then I talk to my patients, many of whom don't pick up essential medications like birth control pills, because they went to the pharmacy and they were told that it was going to be $25, and they just didn't have that extra $25. So they're going without. And it's so frustrating. And to know that it's going to get worse, Maggie, not better.
Yeah.
My heart is breaking for America, and not just for Democrats and for people who voted for Democrats. But I mean, think about people who put their trust in Donald Trump, thinking that he was the guy, he was going to be different. And they believed the things that he said because they needed something different. The government wasn't working for them. And now here we are, and it's even worse than it was before.
Yeah, I think the dissatisfaction levels and frankly, the distrust is going to get far, far worse before it gets better. Ladies, if you're out there, this is your chance. Have you ever had to choose between food or rent and medicine for your family? Have you not taken your kid to the doctor because you didn't have health insurance? Have you let an illness for you or your partner or your kids go far too long? What were the impacts? What did that make you feel like? Men, you can chime in too, but it is broad appeal, so ladies will take preference on the phone lines. 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC. In my own family, my dad growing up lost his father when he was very young. And he has very specific, almost photographic memories of what then went on in his family, that what sacrifices his mother made to just keep their family barely afloat. And so this is not new for working families. But I think the acuity and, frankly, the cruelty in the rationale that Republicans have made for this, it has been only and exclusively to fund massive violations of civil rights and basic constitutional protections, to lock people up in concentration camps that have never, ever committed a crime in their life here in the United States, and to give tax breaks to billionaires, 100 millionaires, and corporations like Amazon, and frankly, to give tax cuts to people like Jeffrey Epstein. It's shocking to me that the party of so-called family values is bear-hugging this kind of cruelty towards working families. One of the things that concerns me particularly, Dr. Lyerly, is basic nutritional assistance. We're going to be talking to the executive director of Feeding Wisconsin on Friday. I've been seeing reports from folks that run food banks here in Wisconsin and across the country that they simply will not be able to gap fill the massive shortfalls that will occur because of these draconian cuts to emergency food assistance through the big brutal bill. One of the questions that I want to hear from listeners about is, have you ever suffered what I'm going to call the death of 1,000 paperwork cuts? Meaning you're working, you're trying to get your kids to school, you're trying to get all these things done. There are 24 hours in the day and you have to at least sleep a few of them. And the additional administrative burdens, these additional paperwork obstacles, which will only in the end push eligible people off of these programs. You know, how has that occurred before in your life? Have you faced those things? Again, to what end? It just seems so immeasurably cruel. And the idea that, oh, well, our food banks will be able to make up the difference is simply false.
No. Our food banks will not be able to make up the difference. And it's a double hit, because the SNAP benefits have been cut, but so have the nonprofits who fill those gaps. And they are not going to be able to be there to be that safety net for the safety net that we've had in place. We're already seeing it. I mean, here in Green Bay, there are a number of organizations that try to link farmers, local farmers, with local folks who need that food assistance, and they are struggling to make ends meet, having to dip into their pockets, having to go to more of the benefactors, the private benefactors in the area, who are frankly tapped out. The system was tense before, and now it's just brittle. It's breaking, and we haven't even started to see the effects of this terrible Trump tax bill.
Yeah, none of this stuff is like a light switch flipping on and off. And I think sometimes it makes it more challenging for people to get their arms around it. But the erosion of these programs, the pain that the brutal bill will cause families is real. And the fact that it may happen slowly in some instances doesn't negate that it's hurting working people. It's hurting working poor folks. It's not going to help the middle class. 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC. Kristen, I want to hear from you. Again, have you and your family ever struggled with the administrative burdens of accessing benefits or programs that you are entitled to, that you are eligible for while you're working, for example, be that Medicaid, Medicare, the ACA, SNAP benefits, which we call food share here in Wisconsin, Badger Care? Call us and tell us about it, or text in 855-752-4842. One of the other things that I have heard in various ways, shapes, and forms throughout my career, Kristen, is I have been probably at times to a fault pretty outspoken about pretty much everything.
Everything, yeah.
Right. I think you and I might have this in common. Uh-huh. And I know that I have at times paid a price for that. But I'm also curious to hear from women out there that might be listening to us. Do you feel safe speaking out either in your family? Do you feel safe if your husband is a Trump voter saying, I think you're completely nuts if you disagree? Do you feel safe speaking out in your church communities? Or do you have fear about speaking out? 855-752-4842. We've got Joe on the line from Madison. Joe, please say hi to Dr. Lyerly, and what would you like to share this afternoon?
Hi, Dr. Wiley. I'm nearly near tears when I think of this. I hope that any women who are listening to this, who are going through a hard time, hear a subtext that you and the doctor were talking about. When you said, doctor, that your family had been on food stamps when you were young, and now you're a medical doctor. Maggie, when you spoke of the hard times that your father was going through, but you made it to law school, and now here you are. My dad, during the Depression, his mother was a widow. That my dad talked about times when his mother said to him, if you want something to eat, you have to go out and shoot something because we have no food. There still are a lot of people in Wisconsin for whom the butchering of a deer that someone catches lasts them for a very, very long time. I hope that one message that comes through all of this is that people realize that this is one moment in your life and it doesn't define you. Don't feel ashamed about it. Don't feel bad about it. It happens to many, many people that they are food insecure, that things are going poorly, and it's not the only moment in your life. There will be other moments, and I know that there may be people listening who just don't want to talk about it. It makes them feel bad. Please understand that things can change in your life, and this one moment in time does not define you and your family. Things can change. Thanks a lot for the opportunity to speak.
So much in what Joe from Madison had to say. Thank you for calling in. What Joe's talking about is the politics of shame and judgment and the concept of deserve, that if you need help, you must be ashamed. You must have done something wrong, that you do not deserve help if you fall on hard times. And what Joe and what Dr. Lyerly and I are trying to say is that it happens in every family. Mm-hmm. It happens to working people, and it is nothing to be ashamed of, and we need to speak now. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Women, you go to the top of the caller list. Please join Dr. Lyerly and I. What are your fears and experiences in the wake of the big, brutal bill? We continue this discussion on the other side. Keep it locked. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin is cheering on Bucky Badger, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Find what you love, love what you find. A Total Wine and More, there's so much waiting for you. Spirits and beer, thousands of wines. Guides in the know when price is so low, it just might blow your mind. You're gonna find what you love and love what you find.
With curbside pickup and delivery available, you'll always find what you love, only at Total Wine and More.
Drink responsibly, B21.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. With Governor Tony Evers choosing not to run for a third term, that means we're going to have the first open race for governor in 16 years. We already know who some of the candidates will be. On the Democratic side, Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez launched her campaign, and Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley said he's running. On the Republican side, Washington County Executive Josh Showman and Southeastern Wisconsin Business Executive Bill Berrien are running. Many more are expected to join the race. And it's not just governor that will have an open race. We could see open races for attorney general, lieutenant governor, secretary of state, and state treasurer, too. Couple that with what's happening in the state legislature, no longer under gerrymandered maps, the year 2026 is going to bring a rather unique moment for voters in Wisconsin to determine the path forward on a fresh new era for the state. I know some can be wary of change, but let's embrace this as the real opportunity that it is.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. Americans really like voting by mail and in-person early voting. That, according to 2024 statistics from the U.S. Election Assistance Commission. According to EAC, 158,211,780 citizens voted out of 211,144,275 active registered voters, a 74.8% turnout, 3 points lower than 2020. Among the 158 million voters, 52.8 million voted in person on Election Day. But far more Americans voted early, with 46.8 million voting early by mail and almost 48.9 million voting early in person. Mail-in voting accounted for 30.3% of votes cast, with some states offering universal mail balloting or permanent mail or absentee lists. Over 15 million ballots were returned via drop boxes in 36 states, up 10% since 2022. The percentage of in-person Election Day voters dropped in 2024 to only 37.4%, while in-person early voting jumped to 35.2%. The combination of mail and early in-person totaled 65.5%. It's clear that early voting is here to stay. We've linked to the report at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
As Wisconsin is hitting the road on your Harley, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Maggie is enjoying some time off, but it's your chance to win with Free Ticket Friday. Using the Civic Media app, text us the word PARK for a chance to see the Brewers play New York Friday, August 8th. That word again, PARK, P-A-R-K. The best of the Maggie Dawn Show continues now.
Welcome back. Welcome if you're just joining us. My name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is Wednesday. We are in the 4:30 half an hour block. I'm joined by Dr. Lyerly. And what does that mean, everybody together now? It is time for Broad Appeal. Today, a special installment. We want to hear from you, especially you ladies out there in our listening audience, about your struggles trying to make it work in your family. Have you had to choose between eating yourself and feeding your kids and rent and healthcare? Have you ever had to delay healthcare? Maybe even on something that was really critical because your family couldn't afford it. Have you ever been overwhelmed and then kicked off of an insurance program because of the freaking paperwork. My goodness, it shouldn't be this hard to get basic health care. 855-752-4842. What are your fears? What are your concerns about the big, brutal bills impacts in your family? And we're adding a layer of questions here in this second block. And that is, have you ever been, frankly, scared or confused by a government official? Has somebody ever bullied you from the government? We want to hear from you. Your stories matter here on the Civic Media Radio Network. 855-752-4842. We've got our friend Ali from the Northwoods on the line. Say hi to Dr. Lyerly. What you got for us, Ali?
Hi, Dr. Lyerly and Maggie. I can answer yes to so many of those questions. When my kids were little, yes, I did skip meals, and I still do now because of medical expenses and stuff. Sometimes I have to ration my meds, which I know isn't a good idea, but that's the way it is. And I can't see it getting any better. I'm homebound, and I do pay insurance, and I pay a lot for the insurance, which means that by the time you pay the insurance, you have a hard time still paying copays on meds and stuff. And I worry that if I lose that insurance, because I have pre-existing illnesses, then what will happen? Yeah. And I also worry about being older, and if I need my, because of my health, I'm able to stay in my little home right now, but I always thought that there would be a time when I would need to go to a nursing home. But now, with the way things, the government is now, there may not be an option of being able to go to a nursing home for anybody. So there are a lot of things to think about these days.
Thanks so much, Ali. You have bravely shared your struggles and journey before. I appreciate you so much. Kristen, your reactions.
It's just heartbreaking, all of it. Ali, I am so sorry. And to know that you're having to ration your medications, it just scares me as a physician, because you're on those medications for a reason. And if you're not able to take them as directed, I am so sorry. And I promise personally, and this is my pledge to you and to everyone out there, I'm going to continue to fight so we all can get access to healthcare, because it is a human right. In this, the wealthiest country on earth, we are taking healthcare away from our citizens in order to give tax breaks to people who own private jets. Are you kidding me? We're taking away healthcare from moms and babies who live in rural parts of our country in order to give giant tax breaks and increase the deficit. It doesn't make any sense. And we already have the worst outcomes amongst peer countries in the civilized world. So it's only going to get worse. But there's a light. There's some hope here. And I heard it with Joe. It is the taking care of each other. It's the supporting each other. It's having conversations and just reminding each other that you are not alone, that we all have tough times. And when we band together and we organize, we can get things done.
Yeah, and I think sharing stories and getting real and speaking out is part of that journey. One thing that Ali's comments really triggered in me is that when people have these times of need, they are often compounding needs. Housing insecurity then leads to food insecurity. Those things can lead to job loss, which increases the cycle. Then you lose, if you had broadband, you lose it. Then you're trying to navigate the paperwork, and how do you get the housing, and how do you get to your job? If you can find people that are in these times of distress, it's not one problem and I'll sit down for a few hours on a Saturday when I don't have to work and just figure it out. Mm-hmm. That isn't how it works in the real world. And folks that think it is, please, talk to some people who have been through this. I bet you know a bunch of them. I bet you may sit next to them on a pew or a bar stool. Be open to the reality of what's happening to working families like Ollie's, like yours, Kristen's, like mine, and like my producer, Jamie's, who shared this via text. When her young son was 3 and diagnosed with Asperger's, their family's income hit the threshold, too high to get any assistance or help in any way, but too poor to afford the insurance. They only were allocated 10 occupational therapy appointments for an entire year, went through them in 2 weeks, and had to spend thousands out of pocket to help their kid become the best person he could be. I've paid for Cobra myself a few times and emptied my pocketbooks of thousands. Thank you to Dr. Lyerly. When we come back after the top of the hour, I'll be joined by State Senator Chris Larson. We're going to discuss how to bring Democrats together to fight this pain that we're experiencing. Stay tuned here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. President Trump has fired the Commissioner of Labor and Statistics, Erica McIntarfer, after a weaker-than-expected jobs report in July and downward revisions made to May and June's job numbers, claiming they are fake numbers. Some businesses are reporting a slowdown in hires due to tariff uncertainty. KPMG Chief Economist Diane Swong.
Basically, with the revisions, we saw only 85,000 jobs a month created for all of 2025, and that's less than half the pace of what we saw in 2024, and I think that's very important.
ABC News has confirmed Ghislaine Maxwell has been transferred from a federal prison in Florida to an all-women's prison camp in Texas. Maxwell, who was Jeffrey Epstein's co-conspirator, is serving a 20-year prison sentence for the sex trafficking of minors. In Montana, at least 4 people are dead after a gunman opened fire at the Anaconda Deer Lodge outside of Butte. A manhunt underway for the suspect. This is ABC News.